This is KBNF Regional News for Thursday, August 7th. I'm Patricia Naft. 4-H is a national organization that teaches kids about science, food security, and healthy living. Youth in the program do all sorts of activities from raising livestock to building robots. KVNF's Laura Pomisano attended a 4-H dog obedience show at the Delta County Fair in Hotchkiss and brings us this story.
Hoshki, sit. The competition has three parts. Kids and their loyal companions are judged on showmanship, obedience, and agility.
So go ahead, guys. I'm going to have you run around one more time and then stop back over here where you are, all together.
Dog trainer Raina Stout is judging this year's competition.
This is the showmanship, and they have to be, well, showy and good sportsmen and women.
Stout first lines the kids up, and one by one they bring up their dogs for her to inspect.
Dog probably weighs as much as you.
13-year-old Kenda Faulkner and her Australian Shepherd Red Heeler mix Oshki are competing.
Well, we just got this new puppy, and so I just thought it would be kind of fun just to kind of help train him and just have fun with him.
Faulkner says she's been doing clicker training with Oshki to prepare for the show.
He caught on to it really fast, and he's been doing very good, so we'll see how he does with the competition.
10 kids entered this year's program, and show officials say that's a good turnout. Stout explains the next stage of the event.
So this is the obedience, and they just have to do a real short obedience healing, and then we do a figure eight. So basically there'll be two people standing out there, and they have this figure eight around them.
13-year-old Damon Hudson says training his border collie Lily for the show has been challenging.
It's kind of hard to make her do all this stuff. The hardest part is to make her sit.
The most popular part of the show is the agility section, where kids guide their dogs through an obstacle course of jumps, bridges, hoops, and tunnels.
Take your time across that plank.
You're okay.
Kids bounce. That's right. We'll give you a restart.
11-year-old Trevor Pike and his mutt Echo were the overall grand champions of the show. He says he's been training his dog for about a year and is looking forward to their next competition.
I think that he did very good, and I'll know what I need to work on for next year.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Even with significant rainfall across much of the state, drought is still hammering southeastern Colorado, western Kansas, and the panhandles of Oklahoma and Texas. In some areas, it's even drier than it was during the Dust Bowl of the 1930s, and yet many farmers are avoiding tragedy. KUNC and Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon traveled to the drought-stricken farms to find out why.
This spring, when the wind picked up from the south on John Schweizer's farm outside Rocky Ford, Colorado, the sky would go black. The 80-year-old farmer and his wife would be forced inside by a wall of dust charging down the plains.
And you'd look up and here'd come this big old rolling dirt.
How high would it be?
Well, you couldn't see how high it was.
The dust storms looked eerily similar to the ones you'd see on the pages of a history textbook. Some areas haven't seen a lack of moisture like this since we started keeping weather records. Schweizer says the cracked, dusty ground won't even absorb the moisture when it does decide to rain.
It was as bad as I remember ever seeing.
How then is a farmer like Schweizer making a living? None of his neighbors have skipped town like Dust Bowl refugees. Farmers aren't marching on Washington demanding relief.
Oh, I think the people are doing fine because most of them have been around long enough to know that you have to take the good with the bad, and most people just accept that. If they didn't, they wouldn't be farming in the first place.
The 2012 drought is severe and very comparable to what we saw in the Dust Bowl.
That's Eugene Kelly, a soil science professor at Colorado State University. He says farmers like Schweizer are able to keep their farms up and running, even in Dust Bowl conditions, largely due to changes in agricultural technology and practices. Farms in the 1930s relied on primitive horse-drawn plows. Now farmers are adopting newer conservation practices, like planting cover crops, limiting tillage, and updating irrigation.
I think they're able to sustain the production in some of these areas, but I think that came from a lot of research and a lot of work in developing cropping systems and farming systems and learning a lot about, the damage a plow can do.
That damaging plow made the Dust Bowl one of the largest and most destructive human-caused ecological disasters in history. Homesteaders dug up marginal lands to plant row crops like wheat. Without rain, the soil dried out and sprung into dust clouds miles long whenever the wind kicked up. In the decades since, former U.S. Department of Agriculture conservationist John Knapp says a suite of conservation programs has gone into effect, programs that pull those sensitive grasslands out of agricultural production and keep the soil intact.
That really changed what was the Dust Bowl, because those lands are in grass now, and that's some of the most highly erodible lands anywhere in Colorado.
But Knapp says even though some farmers have been able to adapt to a harsh environment, the economics of such a transition can wreak havoc on the small communities involved. Selling off cattle or relying on insurance is tough on farmers and on the surrounding towns.
Even prior to this particular drought, we have been on kind of a bit of a slide in terms of the economics, just because we weren't able to sustain some of the higher value crops.
Crops like onions and melons. Knapp says packing sheds have closed, and farms need fewer workers. The farmers who are left are likely doing more work but making less money. Some are selling out completely. Those are larger economic issues, not necessarily caused by drought, but certainly exacerbated by it, Knapp says. But as the world has changed in the 80 years since the Dust Bowl, today's economic hardships are less harsh. Farmer John Schweizer grew up as a child of the Dust Bowl. He says at the time, he was relatively unaware of the historic event taking place on the family farm.
One time, my mom, I caught her unaware, I guess, and was talking about it. Anyway, she said, "You kids never went to bed hungry, but your dad and I did." That's how tough it was. But I've never known bad times, I guess, in comparison.
The current drought will leave a mark on those who live through it, and it remains to be seen whether the next generation of farmers in this region will be able to adapt quickly enough to survive even more extreme conditions in the future. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media reports on farm and food issues and is a collaboration of KUNC and other public media stations in the Midwest.
Stay tuned for Chase and the Sweet Sound. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.